This is Jordan Seculo. As the fight against the Organization of the Islamic Conference at the United Nations continues, we're going to update you on the situation in Mumbai, India.
Terrorists have attacked seven different targets that are popular with Westerners.
I'm a liberal Muslim and I'm totally pro freedom of speech, but you know, how are you supporting freedom of speech when all the radio stations are one-way criticism of Islam? It's not really the true Islam.
There have been multiple reports of gunfire and also grenade attacks. As many as 25 people are dead.
It's not really the true Islam. I mean, people don't understand that the current application of Islam is totally mutilated.
There are at least 25 people killed.
Back in Islam, it was a very progressive religion.
At least 40 people have been killed.
Women proposed marriage, they had their own businesses, they didn't take their husband's name.
People were so scared.
And even until recently, my grandmother's best friend was Christian, my dad's best friend is Christian. We were totally integrated.
The terrorists are heavily armed with automatic weapons. They have been lobbing grenades inside hotel lobbies.
Where were the moderate Islamic voices? I never heard them.
It is a terrorist attack that is aimed primarily at Westerners.
But where are those voices condemning an act of absolute terror where Islamic terrorists came in and killed in India?
Perhaps as many as 200 have been injured, many of them quite seriously.
Where were the voices there?
The attackers are holding dozens of hostages.
They do. They condemn that all the time.
There are reports that the targets in these seven different locations were Westerners.
Who is they? Dina, who is they?
I'm one of the people.
Create the maximum casualty among Westerners, you know, and send a message across.
I'll put them on the air. Get the leadership to come out and condemn this act.
At least 78 people have now been killed.
I'd like to see the leadership do this.
That at least 80 people were dead and 250 injured in the terror attacks.
Where were the moderate Islamic voices?
They do. They condemn that all the time.
As many as 150 people have been killed.
Who is they? Dina, who is they? I'd like to see the leadership do this.
The death toll has now climbed to 195 people, including five Americans.
I'll put them on the air. Get the leadership to come out and condemn this act.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. When we were finishing the broadcast yesterday, we got the call from a Muslim in California who thought that the treatment of Muslims had been unfair. But something she said, it was in the montage that our producer Eric Dibe just put together. She said that the current application of Islam is wrong. And I think that's the problem there, is that, of course, not all Muslims feel this way. But even she said that the way that Islam is currently applied throughout the world has been so corrupted that it has become a religion of hate and a religion not of peace, but of violence. And when you look at the violence going on throughout the world, whether it's in Africa, in the Middle East, India, Pakistan, the Balkans, Chechnya, go to Asia as well, and it is Muslims. It's Muslims. And this is what I want to ask. And this is our call. This is what we're asking for. Where are the moderate Muslim leaders? Not just the people who consider themselves Muslims, and I know those people out there, but where is the leadership? Where are the imams? Where are the leaders of the mosque coming out and not just saying that this is wrong, but condemning these acts? Really condemning these acts. I saw a story, very interesting, folks, today in the news, that one of the Muslim graveyards in Mumbai has actually refused to bury the nine terrorists that have been killed so far. Now, they think there may be some other terrorists. There's one alive and maybe five others at least throughout the city. I'm of the opinion there's probably 100 or so people that were involved in this attack at least. I can't imagine just 15 people. But because that cemetery refused to bury the Muslim terrorist, they are being condemned by local Islamic scholars for not doing so. So this is what I want to ask. One is, as we're fighting the Organization of the Islamic Conference at the United Nations, and we'll go into some stories today about some of those countries, and it's the situation that's happened in India, what people are calling India's 9/11, a day I remember walking into a restaurant the day before Thanksgiving and seeing this on the news. Folks, what I want to ask from you is this. Where are the Muslim leaders? Where are the Pakistani leaders really coming on television and condemning these activities? They're not there. But folks, as we go into this first break, first we want to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110 is our number. If you want to talk to us on air today, that's 1-800-684-3110. And we want you to join in this fight against radical Islam. You can do that right now by opposing the Organization of the Islamic Conference at the UN. Add your name right now, 877-989-2255, 877-989-2255.
Christian persecution. It's happening with greater frequency around the world. Now, the Organization of the Islamic Conference at the United Nations is pushing a dangerous resolution called Combating Defamation of Religions. It's an anti-Christian measure, and it endorses what's taking place in many Muslim countries, where those who even speak out about Islam are severely punished with imprisonment, even death.
Basically, criminalize the proclamation of the gospel, giving special protection to Islam.
Now you can help. Send a message to the UN General Assembly as a critical vote approaches. Sign on to the ACLJ petition opposing this anti-Christian resolution. And if you add your name today, we'll send you the ACLJ's DVD on Israel, a special look at the Holy Land, free of charge. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. And stand up to protect the Christian faith. As we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the American Center for Law and Justice wants to share with you one of the most inspiring and life-changing places in the world. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We put together a very dynamic DVD special on Israel, and I want to send it to you.
It's a powerful behind-the-scenes look at a nation that means so much to Christians.
It shows you the work we're doing there. It gives you a behind-the-scenes look as to what's going on. It takes you to a number of the historic sites, interviews with some of the leading government officials in Israel.
And now you can get this two-hour DVD presentation on the Holy Land free of charge, the ACLJ's Christmas gift to you. Call now, 1-877-989-2255.
I want to encourage you to call the number right now and let this be our gift to you.
That's 1-877-989-2255. Celebrate the birth of Jesus this year with an extraordinary look at the Holy Land.
This is my right, a right given by God.
They condemn that all the time.
Who is they? Dina, who is they?
I'm one of the people.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, of course, talking about the situation in Mumbai, what many are calling India's 9/11, and of course, really an awakening for that country as well, not just about their neighbor Pakistan, but about the growing threat of radical Islam within their own country and also on their border, especially in the Kashmir region. But I wanted to go to another story really quickly, also relating to Mumbai, just to give you kind of a picture of what's going on here and why this upsets me so much and angers me so much, and how it's very interesting to me that this is all occurring while at the Organization of the Islamic Conference, Muslim countries are trying to ban anyone from coming out and speaking against Islam or speaking for their own faith. You don't have to be speaking against Islam. Just talking about your own faith, if it was different from Islam and their view of Islam, would be, quote, defamation of religion. We're fighting it at the United Nations right now, and I'm about to go to Drew Ryan to talk about that. But before I do, let me tell you about this story. You all know about the six Jews who were killed. I think the number's probably going to go up to eight when they've identified the bodies. Just listen. This is the doctor in the morgue about what he said when he found the bodies. Quote, "I have seen so many dead bodies in my life and was traumatized. It was apparent that most of the dead were tortured. What shocked me were the telltale signs showing clearly how the hostages were executed in cold blood." Now, the only good part of that story is that the young son of the rabbi and wife who ran the cultural center in Mumbai for the Jewish community, the Kabad Center for the Jewish community, was actually rescued by his nanny, and his grandparents have now flown in from Israel to pick him up. And that is the one good story out of that situation. But just listen to that. This is coming from a doctor who has seen these traumatic events before, said that he was traumatized by what these terrorists did. Folks, you've got to understand what these countries, what we're up against, the whole world is up against, whether you're in India or the United States or you're a Christian in Egypt, a Coptic Christian, we're all fighting the same battle. And we're also fighting that battle at the United Nations against the Organization of the Islamic Conference. And it's a battle we want you to join in. We want you to fight, because you see what happens. We don't want people in any of these countries around the world, any of these countries around the world, to feel like they can't speak up, that under United Nations resolutions, they could be punished criminally for defaming religion. And by the way, when you read through the defamation of religion resolution proposed by the Organization of the Islamic Conference, you will not hear or see another mention about any other religion. Not another mention. So, folks, this is why you got to take a stand. We want you to stand with us, stand against the Organization of the Islamic Conference, and really freedom for religion for all of those who want to take a stand for their religion, for those who have the ability and have been called to go into the missions field, even in places that they know they'll be in danger. Don't let these countries, under a UN resolution, criminalize their activities. So, folks, you need to call right now. Join with us at 877-989-2255. That's our toll-free number to join the petition. This fight is really raging at the United Nations. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org to join up. Let me go to Drew Ryan, the ACLJ's Director of Government Affairs, because, Drew, you've been at the United Nations. You've been working on this first vote that happened in the third committee at the United Nations. Let's set the stage. It's been a couple days since we've been talking about this for everyone about what's going on here with the defamation of religion battle at the UN.
Well, first and foremost, Jordan, just to kind of get our listeners back up to speed, what we're seeing is, in a lot of these Islamic countries, you have a state-based religion that is Islam, and they are using their anti-blasphemy laws to persecute either religious minorities or even political opponents in these countries. Now, what they're trying to do is go to the UN in a form of these blasphemy laws known as the Defamation of Religions Resolution and have the UN sign off on it. So we have been fighting against that. Now, last year, in the third committee, which is in a sense like you have here in Congress, you have a committee vote before it goes to the floor. The third committee vote, the resolution received 95 yes votes. On the floor of the General Assembly, it received 108. Well, we had a victory a few days ago when in third committee, the resolution only received 85 yes votes. In fact, the noes and abstentions outnumbered for the very first time the yes votes. So we are seeing some of the momentum of the Islamic countries being chipped away at there at the UN. And it's something that we're continuing to work on because there have been a lot of countries, specifically in Latin America, the Caribbean and elsewhere, who I think simply, Jordan, because of a lack of education, have been voting for this resolution thinking, hey, this is for religious freedom. And we've been explaining it to them going, no, this is a tool being used to persecute religious minorities and particularly political opponents inside these Islamic countries. You cannot let the UN sign off on something like that. So the fight continues. Jordan, we're looking probably at a vote in the General Assembly, probably about the third week of this month.
Yeah, so folks, this is a battle that is coming very soon and coming to a head very soon. And you heard from Drew, this is the typical manipulation that comes out of the Organization of the Islamic Conference, manipulating the facts, coming up with catchy titles that sound good, like the Defamation of Religion Resolution, things like that. And then you get some of these countries who need cheap gas, they need cheap oil. Of course, the Organization of the Islamic Conference, they've got the whole oil block, that whole region. So they've got that. They can get to these countries in the Caribbean and smaller countries, third world countries. And that's exactly what happens, is the miseducation going on. And that's why we're at the UN. And we'll talk to Drew about it later in the broadcast, about just making sure that we got face-to-face with these representatives from these countries and gave them the truth about what defamation of religion resolution was, because we know what the Organization of the Islamic Conference is telling them or not telling the people. Let's go to the phones. You want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. James is calling from Oregon on line 4. James, welcome to JSecu Live.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. The question you asked was about the leaders of this faith stepping forward and condemning these actions. And I think what we have is that just like Christians, we have the Word of God, we have the Word of Christ, we have the Bible that we say, you know, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll follow my commandments. And I think if these men are leaders and they follow the Quran, they have their basic beliefs in there that say death to infidels, that there are things that say death to Jews and right, death to Christians, and then you have the extreme that say, you know, the jihad and the different names and titles, which I don't know all, but the basic is that death to West, you know, the West and these
right,
things. So I think as these men, I don't think that we'll see them step forward. If you say men, or I think there's people that do want peace, just like in Christianity, and say, you know, that this is, we don't want to be having this theme, but these wars and these different things and these terrorist acts, but as this escalates, that they are on that side, and that we won't see that step forward, we'll see that kind of follow in. Because just like sometimes the complaints that I make myself, which sometimes are judgments, and we sit in church or whatever as Christians, and we say, you know what, here's these people that say they love Christ, but they're not following, they're not doing what the word clearly says, and we make those complaints and stuff, I think that's what we have on the Muslim side.
Yeah, it is tough, James. I want to thank you for your call because you're obviously well-informed. You know what we're talking about. Yeah, when you look at the Quran, you look at the calls to violence, you look directly where it talks about decapitation, where it talks about cutting the head. And, of course, there are parts in the Old Testament, there are parts of the Bible which are extremely violent, and people know that. And, of course, there were violent periods of time. The difference here is that you don't have a majority of Muslims coming out and just condemning these activities. And I think, James, there's a two-part strategy. One is because if you take the religion far enough and take the specifics of the Quran far enough to the natural and logical conclusion of what you could take from the writings, these are activities which can be, by those who want to manipulate religious teaching, these can be justified. Because they're attacks against the West, they're attacks against democracy, they're attacks against Hindus, they're not, you know, even if it's not Christians, or they're attacks against Jews. I mean, obviously, did you realize, folks, that these terrorists who planned this for a year went out of their way to go to a Jewish community center, a tiny Jewish community center in one of the biggest cities in the world, to torture and kill 8 people while they were lining up 20 people in a hotel room at the same time? They did that on purpose. They're sending a message that we, everywhere they are, they will be targeting people like Jews and Christians and Westerners. They went out of their way to do that in the biggest country in the world. They probably could have caused more damage if they had not been so specific, but they were sending a message, folks, and we've got to wake up to that on all fronts of these battles, and that includes the United Nations. And Drew, let me go to you again, because this is something where we had to fight to get in the face of some of these representatives from these countries so that we could tell them the truth. And when we did fight and make sure that we could sit down and have a few minutes with them, they realized what they were about to sign a lot of the time.
That's right, Jordan. In fact, you know, Nathaniel Bennett, who is the deputy here in the Government Affairs Office, he and I oftentimes had to call these permanent reps at the UN 7, 8, 9 different times just to get 5 or 10 minutes with them. But once we got that time, Jordan, and actually could lay out, using the memos put together by our European Center for Law and Justice team, using the arguments, we actually made sense to them. And a lot of them understood where we were coming from. And we made the point to them saying, hey, look, this isn't a Muslim versus Christianity issue. This is simply religious persecution under the guise of religious freedom. You need to be aware of the legal problems that you face, the religious problems that you face, and even the political problems that you face if you continue to vote in favor of this. And I tell you what, I think really our message resonated with a lot of those permanent reps. Still a lot of work to do. I mean, there are still a lot of countries voting in favor of this, but we are beginning to chip away, put a dent in some of that momentum, and we're going to keep pushing.
And folks, we need you. Of course, like Drew said, this is only a few weeks away, the final battle here against the Organization of the Islamic Conference. And look at what is going on in the world, folks, right now. You've got to take a stand. We cannot let this organization, under the guise of the UN, criminalize anyone talking about other religions in these Islamic countries around the world. You need to call, take a stand right now. Our toll-free number, join the petition, 877-989-2255. That's the number you call right now to stand up against the OIC. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And now there's a new way you can stand with the ACLJ.
ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow with news about an important new way to stay in touch with the ACLJ, the ACLJ wireless service.
With an ACLJ wireless phone, you'll get special updates from me straight to your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. There's flexible and affordable calling plans. ACLJ Wireless, the latest member benefit that saves you money as you support the ACLJ. Other services include digital phone service, DSL for faster internet, and DirecTV. Call ACLJ Member Services, 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at aclj.org/benefits.
Christian persecution. It's happening with greater frequency around the world. Now the Organization of the Islamic Conference at the United Nations is pushing a dangerous resolution called Combating Defamation of Religions. It's an anti-Christian measure, and it endorses what's taking place in many Muslim countries, where those who even speak out about Islam are severely punished with imprisonment, even death.
Basically, criminalize the proclamation of the gospel, giving special protection to Islam.
Now you can help. Send a message to the UN General Assembly as a critical vote approaches. Sign on to the ACLJ petition opposing this anti-Christian resolution. And if you add your name today, we'll send you the ACLJ's DVD on Israel, a special look at the Holy Land, free of charge. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. And stand up to protect the Christian faith.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, talking about, one, the lack of response coming out of the so-called, I guess, moderate Islamic community condemning. And I'm not talking about just those who follow the faith, but some leaders. Even the Pakistani prime minister said that unless there was direct evidence, they basically wouldn't do anything. That's what he said. Of course, we know that the Pakistani government, who is a member of the Organization of the Islamic Conference, the Pakistani government created this terrorist organization who's taking responsibility, who that one surviving terrorist in India, in Mumbai, who was caught and captured, has said he was a part of. It was started by an official Pakistani, the security services there. We know that. So you listen to what's coming out of this community, and we want to know where are the moderate leaders? Where is anyone condemning this action? I mean, talking about leadership, where are the imams? Where are the leaders of the mosque, the leaders of the faith? I mean, could you imagine if a group under the guise of being Baptist stormed into a school and killed people, that the Baptist community wouldn't immediately come out and condemn their actions and say, this is not what we stand for, this is not what Baptists are about? But you just don't see that after these terrorist attacks. I mean, I'm sure the news networks try to find people, but it seems like they just can't. We're putting a call out right now. We want to hear from Islamic leaders who will use their real names, use their real titles, and condemn these activities. So, folks, we want to talk to you also. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones. Lots of calls coming in. Phil's calling from California online too. Phil, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, thank you, Jay. You know, I appreciate what all you guys have done. And I've got two things. One is, I wonder if those guys might be intimidated because of the terrorist, you know, of speaking out, because they say if you speak out against Islam, you know, you're dead. But what concerns me now is a parallel between this act that's going through the UN and this Freedom Act that is going through our own country that's trying to censor the Christian talk in our own country.
Yeah. Well, there's some similarities here. I mean, the difference is, Phil, that this would criminalize talking about faith. You know, the Fairness Doctrine is talking about the airwaves themselves, which the FCC controls. But there are definitely similarities, both silencing speech. But here what you have, and why this is even more grave, Phil, is that this would criminalize under a UN resolution. So sanctioned by the UN would criminalize activity that would be deemed, quote, defamation of Islam. And that's really the danger there. But I think you're right, too, about the leaders being afraid. But at what point do you say, you know what, if I can't even condemn terrorists from my own who have claimed my faith, what is the status of my faith globally? Really? I mean, my religious group, maybe there needs to be a real change in what's going on. Or maybe you should look back in history to see how this group has continued to be violent and has been building on this violent activity. But let's go back to the phones. More calls coming in. Reem is calling from California on line four as well. Reem, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I live in Los Angeles, and ever since this event has happened, I've been to the mosque many times in the last weekend, and I could tell you a lot of the mosques that I've been to have been condemning these actions, are not even Islamic, they're not even human. And there are a lot of organizations in the U.S., Impact, CARE, if you go to their websites, I mean, these are people who go on CNN and speak.
Well, you know, Reem, here's the thing. I understand that locally, and I see that coming out, is that locally you've got mosque leaders who will come out and condemn this. But when you said CARE, you know, CARE has been tied to Hamas, another terrorist group that we haven't gotten into this situation. They've been tied into fundraising directly for an oppressive government who kills Christians in the Gaza Strip. And that's what makes me nervous, Reem, is that, yes, they may send someone on TV, but then you go back and look at this organization, and, I mean, they've got ties to people who are terrorists. and known ties to people who are recognized terrorist organizations. This is not making this recognized terrorist organizations doing fundraising for that. I appreciate your call, and I appreciate where you're coming from. And I do know that there are locally Islamic leaders who have come out and condemned this. And I understand that, Reem. What I think is what we're not seeing is globally Islamic leaders who will come out to do this. And when you talk about groups like CARE, it's not going to hold a lot of weight with the American public, with the Western world, Reem, because these groups have already been tied to known terrorist organizations. It's just part of the situation. And another thing I don't see, Reem, and maybe CARE is different, but a lot of these other groups, you don't see a lot of religious leaders coming on TV using their names, saying that they represent a mosque, and maybe it's from fear of retribution or retaliation, but I thank you for your call, and I do understand that that is happening locally, but globally, you just don't see it. Let's go back to the phones. Bruce from Illinois on line 5. Bruce, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi. Yeah, when I first heard your question, where are the Islamic leaders, you know, and speaking out against righteousness, it struck me. Islam doesn't have a fearless spokesman for righteousness like Jesus was, you know, and they need to, you know, if I think we Christians should ask, you know, for the righteous leaders to step up to the plate and show us that Islam is a righteous religion by speaking out. You know, if they can't speak out, then their beliefs aren't strong enough to overcome their fear and, you know.
Yeah, Bruce, I think you're absolutely right. I think you're clear on the point here is that if you're afraid, if really the whole community is afraid, what we always hear, and I think people have bought into, is that, you know, globally, this is a religion of peace, that globally, this is not a group of people who want to encourage this violent on, you know, it's not the majority of Muslims. But the problem is, if that is true, and they are really the majority, why won't they get this under control and do something about this? Shut down those madrasas, stop fundraising for Hamas, stop giving money to these other terrorist groups, stop giving money to people that were associated with terrorist organizations, and really clean up your act. I mean, that's what I'm saying. If you really want to show this, clean up your act. I mean, I'm looking at the CARE website now, and you look through it, and listen, some of the stuff is, you know, looks fine and good and everything, but when you read about CARE and you look what's happened there, you know where this organization has been tied to before, and I know that they try to deny that, but the ties are there with the people who have been on the board and people who have served with the organization. Let me go to Drew Ryan again, because, Drew, you were fighting this at the United Nations, and we've all been engaged at different levels, and we've also been involved in these fights around the world, helping the persecuted throughout the world in different regions in the Middle East and elsewhere. But, Drew, when you're at the UN, this is a very strong coalition, the second largest intergovernmental organization in the world. So when you're going up against the Organization of the Islamic Conference, the only thing bigger than that is the United Nations itself.
That's right, Jordan. In fact, you look at the 57 countries that comprise the OIC, it is a well-financed coalition. And I tell you what, there are two things at work at the UN when you see the OIC, in a sense, coming down the halls. One, the money and the financial ties, the oil ties that they have to wield over some of these third world countries. And then also, Jordan, it's simply the fear factor that a lot of people don't want to cross them. In fact, people from different hemispheres of the world don't want to cross them. So it's a big fight that we're up against here at the UN. But you know what? I believe that truth is going to prevail, and as we continue to make the argument, I think we're going to continue to see momentum against the OIC, and we're going to see this resolution defeated eventually.
Well, folks, this is important, folks. I want you to stand. I want you to join this fight. There are a lot of calls coming in. We're going to continue to talk about this the next 2 weeks. So, of course, the situation in India, tying that into what President-elect Obama and his team, his new foreign affairs team, will be doing. We'll be talking about that as well. And, of course, the continued update on the battle at the United Nations, because as many of these countries, of course, the United States, around the world, are now dealing with direct terrorist threats. It was us, then it was the United Kingdom, and, of course, these countries in the Middle East who face this all the time. Now India, the largest democracy in the world, of course, are our biggest democratic partner in the process of really letting people govern through elections, through those processes. A very diverse country, 80% Hindu. They're now facing terrorism from the Islamic radical community. And I think it's a problem, folks, because I keep wondering, is it Islamic radicals anymore, or have Islamic radicals taken over Islam completely? And that the moderates and those who, I don't even want to say moderate, just those who practice Islam in its original form are just becoming so small and so silenced by the threat of these radical leaders. So, folks, as we go into this, the end of the show today, I want you to join. You need to get involved in this fight. It is so important, folks, to take a stand against the Organization of the Islamic Conference and fight with us at the United Nations. Add your name right now to this petition, 877 877- 877-989-2255 is the toll-free number you call right now, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.